Hello, and welcome to the Sapiens Insurance 360 podcast. I'm your host, Pat Ryan, Marketing Director here at Sapiens, and I'm so glad that you're out there listening. This is where we discuss the latest news, trends, and issues from across the insurance solutions and technology spectrum. Well, it's hard to believe that another year is winding down, and as we look forward to the promise of 2025, we're going to close this year out with one more podcast on the topic that's probably been the topic of the year, which is generative AI. This week, we'll be talking about what we can expect from Gen AI in 2025 and how it will affect insurance and insurtech. What trends, innovations, and potential conflicts may arise as Gen AI grows more sophisticated? And as Gen AI grows more widespread and cost-efficient, will its automation crowd out its human counterparts? Today's guest is Sapiens' own Alex Zuckerman, Chief Strategy Officer, who will help us answer these questions and hopefully more about what we can expect from Gen AI in the new year. Earlier this year, Alex spoke with our partner Microsoft about its partnership with groundbreaking AI research and development company OpenAI, which has helped bring innovative Gen AI models to market and supports research into how these technologies can benefit businesses and society. I'm excited to continue the Gen AI conversation with Alex today. Alex, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Pat, and it's great to be back.
Great. So let's jump right in, shall we? To start, how do you think Gen AI will reshape the competitive landscape of the insurance industry in 2025, and in particular, underwriting, risk modeling, and fraud detection?
Yeah, I think it's a great question, Pat, and I'm quite certain that Gen AI will be a dominant change agent in the insurance industry in 2025. I think the capabilities, look, when we talk about the insurance industry, one of the first things that comes to mind is a heavy on documentation, materials, text, data pieces that all needs to come together to form an opinion. An opinion can be how to underwrite a business, how to assess the risk, how to take decisions on fraud, how to take decisions on onboarding customers, how to provide service to customers. And the more the industry matures, understand that there's no one size fit all, and you need to be personalized. Gen AI can be a great, great change factor in this. And I think that so far we've seen only the top of the line, the tip of the iceberg. The incredible capabilities that are going into the industry, and if you want, I think it's in those areas that you mentioned, the impact will be specifically critical. Let's look at an agent trying to sell or to engage with a prospect or a customer as is exposed to huge amounts of data. Gen AI can help him understand the data in a fraction of the time, understand who is the right customer for him to put focus on, help him to provide questions and answers to his customers. There's no more the FAQs of the world and all these big databases of potential questions and answers. The answers can come in your language, on your terms, in the right moment. And same goes with a little bit of a change when we look at the underwriting. So let's look at an underwriting, especially when you go to these heavy underwriting activities on specialty lines, on E&S, on large commercial. Those are complicated cases, typically not straight through processing, not streamlined. And it's heavily based on the specifics of the case, typically with a lot of documentation and the ability to summarize a document, to compare it to other documents, to extract the right piece of data from the document in a fraction of the time, but also to start querying about the customer or the risk object, to get the history, to compare the history. It always gives operation on steroids to the users. And imagine the similar logic is applied on claims as well. So the way I look at it is it's an activity on steroids. It's not replacing us as users, as people running the industry, but definitely providing huge automation and enhanced capabilities to perform the task.
Great. That's a great answer. Really comprehensive. I appreciate that. So when you look at next year and really beyond, I mean, Gen AI is going to be around forever. It's not changing, right? Will it get any easier, or how will it get easier for insurers to integrate Gen AI into their legacy systems, or will it?
So I think it's a very safe assumption, let's say, to foresee that it's going to be dramatic to the way we write business in the industry. However, I question very much the ability to use it on legacy systems. It requires some capabilities that there is definitely a preference for a modern system with open APIs, with microservices, with a well-structured database that allows you to access it easily, with ETL that allows you to access all the data in an insurance company on a single data warehouse or data lake, and thus provide a single version of the truth that you want to run your Gen AI on. And here in the insurance business, we definitely want to use the Gen AI on this as a closed capabilities, not as a publicly open capabilities, but a closed capability that is limited to the usage of the insurance company data. And then needs to be, and the right usage of it is allow access. The Gen AI has to have access to the majority of the data in the company. And this is very hard to achieve with a legacy system. This is one aspect. The second aspect, at least this is the way we see it at Sapiens, is the Gen AI is not providing only those capabilities, but it's actually changing the way we think that the human and machine interface will be in the near future, to be honest. So the way that people interact with the policy admin system or the claim system, the way configuration is done, the way that launching new products is going to be completely different with the capabilities of Gen AI. And I'm having quite a hard time imagining how can you do it with a legacy system. Let me give you an example. We are streamlining configuration of our call system using Gen AI. It means we basically can take a requirements document from a customer, from a business person in a customer, and with a one click through Gen AI, turn it into system configuration. This requires also not only the smart capabilities of translating, you know, requirements to automated configuration. It also requires a fully configurable system, flexible, well-documented, well-structured, and easy to use. And this stuff is very hard to have on a legacy system. And if you want, in a few years, what we envisage is, and maybe I'm exaggerating a bit, but all the screens of the system will shrink down to a single field of a search or command, and through this single field, you can execute any task you want on your terms, in your time, using your own language. And again, this type of evolution, it's very hard to see how it comes with a legacy system.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, when you think about the digital transformation agenda that's been really kind of pervasive throughout our industry in the past, you know, 5-7 years, based on what you're sharing, I would submit that those carriers that are lagging on the digital transformation side are going to find themselves even further behind on their ability to leverage the capabilities of Gen AI for optimizing their business. Is that a fair assessment?
I think it's a very fair assessment. I think, you know, if to quote a well-known phrase, that Gen AI will not be a lipstick on a pig. Gen AI is a strong capability, but requires partnership from the other surrounding systems, especially when we are in our vision, we don't see it limited to managing documents, but actually going to be an automation tool, a configuration tool, and a tool that helps you navigate through the system, embedded into the UI and the UX of the system, and actually becoming part of the engine and the logic of the policy admin system. And I think that, as you very rightfully said, the digital transformation is not a silo type of approach. It doesn't provide you only ability to communicate digitally with your customers or channels. It's not only about moving to the cloud. It's about positioning yourself as a carrier in the world of the modern technology. And there are piles and layers that are coming one on top of the other, where the baseline is be on the digital transformation stage. It means be on the cloud, have a strong API connectivity, be able to extract data easily into a central location. And those type of things that will enable also the smart and the real usage of the Gen AI, and not just on a simplistic and point use cases.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. Your commentary about the need for AI tools to interact with other systems, I think probably answers this next question I'm going to share, but because I think I have an idea of where you would go with this. But do you think, or do you see Gen AI growing so sophisticated in the months or even years to come that it might supplant human underwriters and adjusters and people in those kinds of roles?
That's a frightening thought, to be honest.
Yeah. It's a loaded question, Alex.
And I think this question is in debate, you know, across also all the companies and the generators of Gen AI. And I think here the place of regulation is critical. And I think here regulation is our friend and not our enemy. And we need to be very careful in how we implement it. And I think the way we look at it is the Gen AI, at least at the moment, we focus on it being a co-pilot and not an autopilot. And together with the co-pilot, it means that it's a tool that assists the underwriter to execute his job and not replacing the underwriter. Now, of course, that what we foresee is bring such a huge efficiency, automation, and work on steroids, as we like to call it, then you, with the same team of underwriters, you can multiply the business you can handle. But together with that, the responsibility lies with the human. The responsibility eventually to approve a final decision, even if the AI and the Gen AI are actually doing all the legwork, the responsibility is on the human. And this is why we have also those approaches of a white box rather than a black box, meaning understand the steps of the Gen AI. And by the way, it's also right for machine learning and more traditional AI calculations, running an algorithm that provides a risk score. You want to understand the steps and understand what was the reasoning for the machine to provide a risk score. When you get responses from Gen AI, especially when it comes to risk scoring, underwriting, claim management, you wanna see the location. Where did the Gen AI took the logic from? Where did he find the answer? Point me to the right place. So as an underwriter, if I feel this is a critical point to my decision, I have the capability and probably also the responsibility to go and check for myself and ensure that the machine gave me the right response. So the machine can do all the legwork, the calculation, the finding of the locations, bringing me the data in a structured way, et cetera, et cetera. But still, I have the responsibility as an underwriter to validate that. The more we get coherence from the machine, better results, less hallucination, less bias, we can give it a higher rate of confidence. But still, I'm very much in favor of this co-pilot approach that we are not replaced yet by the machines.
Yeah, I love that little nugget you threw out there. AI should be considered as a co-pilot and not an autopilot, which I think, you know, if people kind of embrace that notion, it eliminates some level of fear around human replacement, right? I think that's one of the big challenges with AI today is this notion that AI is going to take over. But that's not the way it works. And I don't think that's the way it's going to work. So I think, that response is really, really strong. I appreciate your perspective there. I'm going to ask you one final question. As we look ahead, do you think Gen AI could lead to an insurance ecosystem that is more proactive than reactive? Not to say that our industry is primarily reactive, but from a balance standpoint, do you think it will put us in a position where we're focusing more on loss prevention rather than loss compensation?
Yes, I definitely think it can contribute to that. And on this subject, and it's a very interesting subject, Pat, to touch base and actually to finish this discussion. I think what we see in general, it's a very, very powerful point that the role of the insurer is shifting from being a pure risk taker and protection provider into the additional spaces of prevention and service. So we see more and more the desire to provide a one-stop shop that I can underwrite your risk, help you prevent it, and provide you service, not only a compensation when stuff happens. And I think that Gen AI and AI in general can be a very strong contributor into this approach. And to give you a couple of examples to this line of thinking, by better analyzing our customers and prospects, who they are, where are their risk points, we can better align the type of insurance we provide them. When we better understand their targets, their motivations, and what behind acquiring this insurance, we can provide a better response to the need between those three pillars of protection, service, and prevention. And again, this can start in identifying where there's a higher risk for leakage and asking customers to put a water detector, similarly a smoke detector. This is just one aspect of that. And then using AI, Gen AI, to really map where is the right places you want to focus on making, when is it obligatory, when it's nice to have, when it doesn't have a huge importance. And in general, being able to understand better the data of our customers and then make sure we provide them the right answer. Can be a protection, can be a prevention as well.
Really, really thoughtful feedback, Alex. I really appreciate it. I know we're probably running a little bit long here on time. You've got so much to share. I know I certainly learned a lot from you today, and we all know that Gen AI is really at the forefront of today's insurtech ecosystem. And, you know, it's going to continue to raise the bar in terms of next generation technologies. Thanks so much again for your insights today. And I know I speak for both of us when I say that I can't wait to see what the next Gen AI innovations will be and what's in store for us in 2025.
Absolutely, Pat. I want to thank you again for having me on the show. It was a lot of fun, and I really join your passion in, you know, looking into 25 and seeing this great progress of technology into our industry.
It's my pleasure, Alex. Best wishes to you. And of course, to all of our listeners, a very healthy and happy holiday season and happy new year. As always, we love hearing from you. So if you have any comments or would like to follow us on social media, please reach out to us on our channels. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. We've got so much more coming in 2025, so stay tuned to our Sapiens Insurance 360 podcast. Bye now.